Welcome to a podcast on Fire Network, bonus episode 8 on Raped by an Angel 5 from 2003. Raped by an Angel 5.1, Raped by an Angel 5 take 2, not Raped by an Angel 5 Redux, it's just another Raped by an Angel 5 that for some reason felt like, man, that Raped by an Angel 5 was some kind of work. Let's ride on its wave of success. Rather than making a Raped by an Angel 6, we're gonna make another 5. Genius, let's make it. Shoot it on video, no subtitles.
Such a good number, God.
And so they did. And that's what we're here to discuss in our first bonus episode attached to this week in Sleaze. And I'm gonna do something here for editing purposes. And I'm gonna keep it in like this because I don't really care when it comes to the bonus episodes. This is the Podcast on Fire Network 1, 2, 3 sound effect episode. Boing. That's what I'm gonna insert right there.
There we go.
And there's not much to say about Raped by an Angel 5 from 2003. In my notes, I'm gonna mention a movie or two that I know of by the director who's credited as Angel Lau, but has also been credited and is credited on Hong Kong Movie Database as Dick Lau. So why not when you're directing Category 3 movies, which this character has? Okay, moving into the brief opinion of ours first. And I got help with the Chinese title again, translated into English. So let's do that first. According to Sylvia, this roughly translates to Rape 5 Commercial Attraction. And it will make sense, actually, because the plot is about models who at one point are shooting a commercial on the beach. And there will be no plot synopsis, because really, we're guessing, kind of, here. Despite no subtitles, we get most of the movie, but I don't care about the plot synopsis. We'll just try and make sense of it as we go along here. But what I want to say first is, it's bad, but it's easy to follow despite the lack of subtitles, and no one was really trying here, you know. Just turn on the video camera, go for a bit, edit it together, slap some chicks and a free on the cover, and a product for the DTV direct-to-video market was made, and craves were met, I suppose. but I don't really mind watching it. It's a fast watch for me, despite so. So that's my first brief opinion. What do you think? But I mean, despite no subtitles, I mean, have you come to some conclusion?
That's the real key, isn't it? What do you think?
Yes.
It's not my first rodeo watching unsubtitled films. You know, I've been plenty of Japanese titles and some German splatter movies in the past that I've went over.
Es ist man scheiße.
No.
I know what that means.
Not that kind. No, but. This is a tangent, but yeah, like the first time I ever watched the unsubtitled movie was when Primatus Die Gefallenen Engel came out. It's like Primatus by a director named Olaf Ittenbach. Mm-hmm. And it's just a backyard gore movie with like that at the time was touted as being like the argument to like Peter Jackson's, you know, Dead Alive and movies like that. It's like an extremely gory movie. And
it's a tall order.
Huh?
That's a tall order.
It is. And I mean, it's a movie with, they even got like tanks blowing up zombies in it. It's actually, if you can handle it being so low budget, it's actually a whole lot of fun. But that was, you know, I still to this day haven't seen it with subtitles. And I never watched it with the horrible English dub that's out there. But just wanted to watch it. I wanted to see it, and you know, you find that there's a whole lot that can be conveyed with just you know, facial tics and things like that. And you don't need, you know, a lot of times full, you know, conversations in order to get the gist of what's happening in a movie. And you know, watching Raped by an Angel 5B definitely is a similar case. Yeah, especially with so little dialogue in the first place, but. A general, you know, view of the film, it's a step up, I guess. You know, I mean, it's a very simple movie in comparison to the previous two sequels, but it's a very nasty, dirty movie. And,
I suppose it actually ticks some boxes and pushes some buttons, definitely. One of the better scenes is the opening, where you kind of, I mean, my notes are almost like my, you know, scene-by-scene notes on what I think is going on, you know. So, for instance, you know, hey, it's a found footage movie with the camera rapidly moving all over the place, but that's just style, so to say, by Dick Lau. And we're in the rapist's lair, and we know that because he cuts out pictures and makes collages of those because he's sick, you know, he's obsessed with girls. And on... briefly on Dick Lau, you know, because here's a sequence that's kind of good, actually. I've only seen one movie of his before, which was subtitled. It was called Emmanuel in Hong Kong. Really, no connection to Emmanuel, I think. But it was quite a well-shot erotic movie, to be fair. There was way above this one. I'll tell you that much right now. After this sequence, you get actually a credit there where it says Angel Lau is dead. But this is actually from Wong Jing's production company. I was floored when I saw that. It's in English in the credits, so you can. It's from Jin's production company. However much he was, I don't know how much he was involved in exactly, but it's from him, so it's not like a little Splinter Cell, you know, doing this. So it's pretty much, you know, there, but someone fucked up and named it Five. Or maybe they didn't fuck. I don't know. Maybe they wanted to. We'll show that Five what we can do. So, you know, that's what it is. But it's not totally limp what we see here, you know. But there's no signs of pure skill either, you know. The skill is that we're into the movie quickly. The skill is that it's conveyed, even without subtitles, that there is a... you know, a rapist that will turn out to be kind of a devil inside and an angel on the outside and what have you. And the devil inside of him, we get an idea of because we don't see him. We only see his crotch humping the TV, or rather he's humping the VHS static. He's paused the image and he's humping the white lines. while he's watching a porn scene, or what turns out to be a fantasy, actually, with our lead Samuel Leung, who was in the fifth movie. He's the one that is string up in the air in the fifth movie. Mm-hmm. He's that silly triad. He's the lead here, the angel or devil, and in that porn that's shown. I mean, I'm not going to like go into what's our sexual preference or anything, but I'll say this much: I think tickling torture is probably the most boring thing ever. Especially on film, you know, tickling with feathers and shit like that, you know.
Does not get my goat, you know.
And it's not shot sexy here. It's just each video format does its thing to like decrease the sexiness quite a bit. But it's just in an apartment, and Samuel Leung, God bless his heart, he's actually a good actor in some other movies, but he's not, you know. He's not attractive as such. I mean, I'm not saying I'm attractive, but he's in there in his tidy whities or his underwear, and these girls are... I mean, it's not sexy. That's all he got to say about it, I guess.
this introduction, it's him, you know, watching... Basically, it's like him flipping through a couple of commercials or something, if I remember correctly. And one of them is a marriage of sorts on it, and there's a husband and wife or what have you, and that actually comes into prominence during the final scene or what have you. Mm-hmm. But and then he humps the TV and we get this whole scene, this whole introduction.
And you see his like the bulge from you know. So they go for it pretty much. It's category 3 again, so now they can show stuff like bulge. This. Yes.
But this whole sequence like eats up 7 minutes before we even get the credits rolling.
Yes.
You know, and while I was watching, I was like, you know, is this a short film or something before the movie? I actually really did think this. I was thinking, you know, maybe things are done differently in the shot on video.
Now for our feature presentation.
yeah, that's what I expected. And then, and then when the credits started rolling, I was like, "Oh, maybe this is." And then I saw 5 on the screen, and I was like, "Oh, okay, well, the movie's beginning now." Mm. Oh,
the Meaning of Life Monty Python intro short film, it is not.
Yeah. It's at this point, you know, you're in for something kind of bizarre, and yeah, it's going to go for the jugular.
Yeah. I guess so, yeah. Cut to one of the stars, Teresa Mack from Streets of Fury, which is another Billy Tang movie. So I think this is the movie where she gets her head shaved, you know, in a torturous manner, and she kind of breaks down psychologically in that scene. It's a really powerful, powerful scene. It's the only scene I've seen from Streets of Fury, but I know King Hu really likes that movie. She plays the cop here, so she doesn't. She's not one of those actresses that gets nude on screen anyway. She's also in The Peeping, the Malcolm Mack-directed Peeping, which is a really boring, based on a political scandal kind of thing, like really snooze-inducing. And again, Samuel Lung, as we said, plays the angel, and guess what he turns out to be in the movie? You know, he plays like the driver of Teresa Mack's character, rather her sister, as he seems kind and all of that, but, you know, it's easy to predict where this is going, really. I mean, my guess was that anyway, and my guess turns out to be very true. You know, it's it doesn't try and revolutionize and pull a Usual Suspect twist on us or anything. You know, And again, we even without subtitles, you can confirm the following thing: that Hong Kong males always get giddy and silly when wanting a girl and turns into rapists, essentially. And my notes say they start laughing and do the grab stance. So I assume it's that in that scene where we first see Teresa Mack's sister or friend like being harassed by those guys on the street. But
I guess the booby, like, because one of them starts doing like his hands like squeezy, you know, like he's gonna grab her breast or whatever.
So it's never unsubtle that they're like,
I like how they initiate that with the two punks like walking by and like. Obviously, like, throws his arm out there to accidentally touch her boob, or what have you.
Assholes.
And then, I've mildly touched your boobie while walking. Let me go back and start doing my honking signs with my hands, you know? Like, man, that's the way you win chicks, from what I understand.
If we believe the movie rules, I suppose. It doesn't work here, thankfully. It moves on to... And here's where my... When I try to figure out the plot, because it looked like, for a moment, like... Because the sister, or the friend, shoots a commercial on the beach, really low-rent commercials, you know. They're in bikinis, and then they promote whatever they do. And it seems like, hey, is this a sort of remake of One? Because partly... Qing Miao and Mr. Man do take part in they're in an action commercial. Remember that? There's a big action scene, turns out to be a commercial. So I'm thinking like, hey, is this like a mix? Well, there's a cop here too. Maybe it's a mix of One and Two, you know? Are they really like, they don't have time to script it, so they just take elements of One and Two? Maybe, maybe not.
Probably subtle references, you know, maybe.
Yeah. I would think so. By the way, the sister is played by, according to Hong Kong Movie Database, or the friend. And she has received a name at some point, the very sexy, classy name, Gobby Wong. G-O-B-B-Y. It sounds like a woman who won't stop talking, or Gobby, 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 and Gob keeps moving. Gobby.
Turkey.
Exactly.
Gobble, 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 gobble.
Righty, moving on to you got a sleazy producer in this movie, a blonde, blonde-haired or grey-haired sleazy producer, you know, and here's where the category 3 rating feels welcome. You know, we haven't seen it for a while in the Rape by an Angel series, and I guess that leads us to a question that, rather, it's really puzzling to me why they don't spend time at all trying to make a sex scene even semi-atmospheric. In this movie, the theme seemed to be get them into an apartment, natural light, and just film a little bit.
Bright lights on them. Yeah, they don't even dim the light or go by you know, any kind of smaller lighting or anything like that. It's just, it's blunt and in your face. You know, here's some boobs.
Yeah, no, not even candles, you know, in the, you know, there's nothing here. And I'm thinking, like, come on.
Come on.
I know. And you want to come on, try a little bit. I mean, I know there is a fast production, but maybe just put some filters on the lights you're using, you know, just try a little bit. And that's, I kind of dislike that fact. I mean, I do, if there's sex, at least try to feel sexy, you know, evoke sexiness, at least erotica, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
But,
no, this is all, it's softcore without the, you know, prettiness. You know.
Exactly, but okay. You can talk of well, that probably is your favorite scene in the movie, I would think. One actor that wasn't a good fit apparently for Rape by an Angel 1 and 5 was actually a very good fit for Rape by an Angel 5B, and that is Charlie Cho. So, want to talk about his? It's not difficult to figure out what his characters and character motivation is in this one. So go ahead.
Same thing that seems to always motivate Charlie, isn't it? You know? Uh-huh. He plays, what is he, what did you say, a casting agent of some sort?
I think so, like maybe works at a model agency and stuff like that. So.
And, you know, his introduction is basically through peeping. That's what Charlie, and he sits there and has a girl come in, and from what I understand, there's another room where she's supposed to go in and try on some different outfits or what have you. And, of course, Charlie has cameras set up. You know, like a motherfucker. And so he proceeds to just, you know, peep and make giddy expressions while watching her change clothes. And the scene culminates in him being ousted and being discovered. And
well, no wonder the cameras are fucking huge!
Lights on.
We're not talking... Yes! I mean, we're not talking like Mission Impossible style, you know, button-like cameras, you know, cuffling-like cameras. It's actually like security cameras that you would see in, you know, a CCTV camera, if you will, on a stand of some sort attached to the wall.
I'm a paranoid person, so I'm like always looking for those whenever, like, especially, you know, I actually do look for those in bathrooms and stuff like that, which... I don't know, it speaks to my paranoia, I'm not sure, but yeah, I don't know how you could have missed it.
But, and there's several of them in there, you know.
It's multiple camera angles that Charlie gets to watch from.
But we get to hear his voice, and that's not common. Usually he appears post-dubbed in movies, and I never really got an idea if it was him or not. I'm positive after this movie that he didn't dub himself quite a bit. His voice is more growly than I'd imagined. Rather than... It's more like how I imagined Alex Mann would sound like. It was like, hey! You know, it's a bit more growl to his voice than I'd imagined, at least in the two scenes that he's in.
Yeah. And basically his scene set him up to be, you know, an enemy to our angel slash, you know, devil or what have you. And Charlie ends up paying the price, unfortunately.
Yeah, he, it's one of the few effective scenes in the movie because there's a lot of sex scene with either this girl or another girl, and Samuel Lung steps in and essentially murders Charlie in front of the girl, which, because of how it's set up, the concept actually comes through, but it's not like it's some well-staged graphic scene or anything. Samuel steps in a kabuki mask for this one, so they elongate that theme of the kabuki mask from part 4.
Yeah, this one kind of looks like a pro wrestling style mask or something like that. Much more colorful, green and such.
And you know it's bad, this movie, but it kind of helps that it's not subtitled, because I got through it easily. Because I didn't know how bad it was. It was kind of like that layer wasn't there that I knew exactly how bad it was. It kind of just, because I only got like 50% of the scenes, for instance, it kind of just passed through very quickly and easily. Don't know why that is. Kind
of
works.
Minutes worth of boobies and a little bit of blood here and there.
Yeah, exactly. And you can only make up dialogue therefore in your head, you know.
Yeah.
And rather than having subtitles actually bore you, possibly.
This one is actually kind of interesting in the fact that our lead protagonist slash antagonist slash rapist doesn't actually use like a whole lot of blunt power or anything like that to get his way. He actually uses pills, mm-hmm. As a form of getting the girls or whatever. Uses some kind of, roofie slash, Spanish fly to the nth degree, to basically, he constantly is poisoning the girls, basically, and then making them extremely horny, and he steps in and molests them. That's basically how it goes in this movie.
Yeah, I guess that's where the getting horny in front of the public restroom mirror, why that happens. I actually missed that fact about the pills.
Yeah,
so I thought that girl is probably just, here's the excuse, you're horny. Okay, yes, therefore, be horny in front of a public restroom mirror and lie on the public restroom sink, and we'll tilt the camera 90 degrees, and then we'll tilt it back, and that's hot.
I actually I took note of that scene because, basically, the lead up to that is the only time that I actually saw a character's name, and I assume it was her name because it was in English. It was written on her cup as an English character. Yen, Y-E-N, was on her cup, mm-hmm. and our protagonist, antagonist, rapist, sits there and takes a blue pill and slides it into her coffee or whatever. Later in the movie, his jar of blue pills kind of comes into play when. He's discovered by the police,
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And even without that that plot point, I would have loved for it to be as dumb as that, that someone is so incredibly horny that she'd take anyone who'd walk into the bathroom as well.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to get up here on this very probably dirty and bacteria-riddled public restroom sink. But there was reasoning.
Yeah, he did it a few times throughout the movie. He did it to her, did it to a couple of other girls, and a couple of girls at the same time, too. This dude.
One other problem in one of the murder sequences, again, is the lack of style. There's hardly... The murder scenarios are not scary either,
Right.
So... that's a fault of the film, when it's all shot straight, when psychotic acts are shot very straight, and that contradicts to that contradicts the first scene, which was very, if anything, menacing compared to what we did get.
It has to be the bloodiest scene in the whole movie is where our lead guy basically the producer that was mentioned earlier with the gray hair, he is with some girl, getting it on in some, apartment or whatever, and our kabuki mask wearing villain comes in with a gun, and, very different too, using a gun, as one of his main weapons in the movie, and comes in, holds them up, ties up the male, and then I suppose he's roofied the girl because she's kind of in a sexually charged, mood or what have you, because she's basically almost willing to have a dog collar put on her so that our kabuki mask wearing villain can walk her around, and he forces the girl to perform fellatio on the movie executive or producer or whatever before he shoots him in the head, and this leads to one of what's supposed to be a very shocking, sight of the girl's head moving up and down on the man's lap while blood pours on her head, right? But the entire sequence is kind of marred by the fact that it looks like ketchup is being slowly dripped on her bridge of her nose from above, and it, it would have been much more effective to have a splatter of blood like we saw in Rape by an Angel 4, The Rapist Union, where the splatter of blood went on Dr. Lamb's face and covered it or whatever. Something like that would have been much more effective. And but instead, we hear a gunshot, and this girl's head's bopping up and down. And then seconds later, just little driplets of blood pour on her face, and she just keeps going. So the gunshot didn't even make her head move. And then the drips of blood doesn't make her stop. And, it's it doesn't have much impact or anything like that. It just seems silly.
Yeah, Serbian film, it is not in that regard when when the girl is decapitated and he keeps having sex with her.
Yeah,
you're right. That could have been a real standout moment, but again, no chops, technical chops here. And that leads to, you know, that's really faked and really crap. You know, then you get the scene, the sex scene on the rooftop with the world's most faked pleasure I've ever seen, where Samuel Lung is having sex with whoever, and they're supposed to be having a good time, and that all that dry humping and so on. Dear, oh, I think I can direct better sexy stuff than at least that scene. You know what I mean?
At least dim the lights.
I mean, maybe in the sundown or whatever, but come on, man. Yeah, exactly. So, and after they're done, he slaps her around, you know, and hardly shocking hints that he's the rapist. And, oh, what a surprise. It was him, as it turned out, by the end.
There's nobody that has his body, you know, in the entire movie. You know, he weighs like 45 pounds, you know, and he has a very unique look. So it wasn't, you know, I didn't know if the movie was supposed to be hiding the fact that it was him. You know, being that he's wearing a mask.
Not well!
Did not hide it well, though.
Well, on that note of dimming the lights and style, I mean, the only time the director, Dick, pours on the style is in the rather somber shower scene for Theresa Mack's character. Maybe it's after... Not tragedy, but there is a somber shower scene almost there where the vision, this blurry vision, you know, filter putting forth front of the camera. So I guess that's a little bit of style. And you know, also, by the way, going back to Samuel Lung, that he's a psycho when his eyes go big. He opens his eyes a lot. But what can he be? Yeah, I think he's still a good guy.
Oh, yeah. Most definitely.
All right, moving on to the end. What are we spoiling here? There's a confrontation at the end, and he dies and all that. But one of the details here is an echo of the girls from China, where his victim is dressed up in a wedding gown, which I suppose is sort of like disturbing in a way, because it's such a clean image, angelic image attached to joy, if you will, rather than, it's not like it's you know, fetish sex or anything, you know, that's not what we attach it to. So I guess that's an idea of sorts. And but the only real moment in the entire film is the sister or the friend of Theresa Mack's character, you know, crying for help while she's being raped, and it's kind of one of the few emotion where real emotions are shown, you know.
Yeah, it's very dark. And I'm sure if there were subtitles, there's probably hints at the whole wedding scenario thing. There's something to that. You know, at the beginning of the movie, like I mentioned, the things that are playing out on the TV before he has his little, you know, scenario or whatever. It's there's like a wedding being shown and things like that, and this is obviously stuff that he's recorded. So there's something to that, you know. I don't know what's exactly his deal is, but I think maybe mommy and daddy issues or something, and he dreams of having his own family. You know, there's really no telling, but there's probably something going on there.
Yeah, I'm sure some regular psychology that we see in these movies, this wouldn't be the first movie that is guilty of picking something old some old tack, some cliche to explain your psychosis or what have you. But thankfully, the movie ends quickly. I mean, it's we're out of it quickly. Once it's done, it's done.
Boom. There's like 2 minutes and the movie's over, basically. You know? There's no nothing afterward. It's like a kung fu movie. The bad guy's dead. You know, freeze frame. It's done.
An IFD movie, you know. I am the Golden Ninja Warrior Supreme and Supreme whatever, and then
zoom out,
the end.
Done.
Yeah. Red title card, the end.
Yep.
I mean, it's not something I would return to, because it was more fun doing it for work I got through it easily. I should state again, it was a quick watch for me. in comparison, King Who said he spent a year or something like watching this on and off.
Really?
Yeah, it's such an astronomical amount of time to for him to go through this, which shows sometimes we're in sync and sometimes we're not, him and me. But that's perfect. That's great. That's the way it's supposed to be. Really, the greatest joy for me in terms of having watched this movie is to have it as part of the coverage. Extended to the bonus episode just because we can. We didn't know beforehand if the lack of subtitles would be a complete hindrance, but as a matter of fact, we could make notes because we should have known it's not going to revolutionize the genre and do new narrative that we've never heard of, even with subtitles. So it's the beats are familiar, therefore you can follow the movie. But should you seek it out, only if you're this deep into the Rape by an Angel coverage, I think. If either after four, jump to this by all means, and then maybe end with the official Rape by an Angel 5, the Final Judgment. Maybe do it in that way. I don't know, but
I enjoyed it more than the previous five.
Yeah, definitely.
I enjoyed it a lot more. I still like Rapist Union a lot more, and the first two movies for sure. But I enjoy the fact that it's just so sleazy and, grungy kind of. I mean, it's something about, shot on video that, it looks cheap as hell. And especially with no filters or someone who doesn't know how to handle the content, Mm-hmm. So there's something about that. The All Night Long trilogy or six films really from Japan kind of have a similar look to them, even though they're more stylish and... have better content, but there's something about that kind of nastiness that can do well with the exploitation market. I kind of dig it.
Yeah, I kind of agree. I'm looking at my old review of Emmanuel in Hong Kong from 2002 to see if I was completely wrong in my assessment that I thought it was more visually interesting. So let's see here. Let's read. I don't care if this is in or not. It was shot on video exercise. I call it perverse nonsense, but that's probably a good remark. I'm going to read it for a little bit. There's something in Lau's attempts to examine a psychology behind a married couple of the cold kind. If I tell you it's category 3 equivalent of Eyes Wide Shut, you have some idea of what to expect. So there you go. And let's see. Kudos for making sure we... okay. Here we go. But again, tedium and way too long sex scenes makes Emmanuel in Hong Kong very fast forward friendly. even though it does have scenes with squirt, orgasm, and whipped cream.
Wow.
So yeah, so there you go. It had some outrageous moments, and that was subtitled, obviously. So I'm not in a hurry to watch that again. Maybe if we really starve for material to watch in the Tidy Wedding Theater, then perhaps we'll do that. But for now, we put Dick Lau's filmography to the side, or Angel Lau, and finally conclude the Rape by an Angel coverage. And it's over, Joshua.
What?
What are we going to do now? We're going to make our own Rape by an Angel 5.
Oh my god. Rape by an Angel C.
What was your guess as to what the Chinese title was for this one before I said the actual one? You had like a Rape 5 model something?
Yeah, Rape by an Angel, the supermodel fan.
Yes, there we go. That's what we're going to make.
Yes.
I got a camera phone. You got some. You've got natural light at your house. Let's do it.
Nice.
Alrighty. Thank you again, everybody, for supporting us all the way through this boner episode, and we were glad to do this. And we'll see you again on this week in Sleaze in some other shape or form. So this has been Can It Be? Not even Can It Be. Shush. Can It Be? Quiet! What? It's a sleazy K, I mean. And the great Lord, Joshua Riegel.
Yes.
Who says bye by saying yes.
Bye.